You've got the drive to create things. You're a writer, a photographer, a musician, a maker. You're ready to make things happen.
But chasing creative isn't always easy. Your time and energy go to your work, your family, and your life. Is it really possible to make space for the creative in your everyday?
Here at the Chasing Creative Podcast, we believe you can. We're talking to everyday creatives who have insights and action steps you can take today to make your creative plans happen.
I'm Ashley Brooks, a freelance writer and editor at Brooks Editorial and work-at-home mom who would love to devote more time to creative writing and journaling.
And I'm Abigail Krebs, the writer and photographer behind Inkwells and Images. I'm living my creative life nights and weekends after I get home from my full-time job at an ad agency.
And you're listening to the Chasing Creative Podcast. Tonight, we're chatting with Morgan Swank. Morgan is a freelance fashion illustrator and accessories designer. She spends her days creating art and sharing it on morganswank.com. Morgan loves all things related to drawing, coffee, running, and corgis. And I'm really excited to talk to Morgan tonight because not only is she one of my friends in real life, but we haven't talked to anybody who does anything even remotely close to fashion design or fashion illustration. So we are really excited to hear everything you have to talk about with us today, Morgan. So why don't you just get started by telling us your life story? How did you get to where you are right now as a fashion illustrator?
Yeah, I guess... Well, it all started back in the day when I was born. I actually laugh because the majority of my life I've lived on and off in Minnesota. So I say my big goal in life is to never live in Minnesota again. And having recently escaped, I'm like, finally, I'm free again. But so growing up, I've always loved to draw. And I think one of my like earliest memories of art was we had this how to draw Mickey Mouse coloring book or like trace and or how to draw it. So you had like little circles and shapes. And anyway, my dad would trace the Minnie Mouse for me and I'd color it in. And I just thought it was like this amazing experience to be able to like recreate something you've seen onto paper. And then growing up, I just have always gravitated towards that. When I needed downtime, I would always pick up my pencils and draw. I really loved drawing animals, and then that segued into portrait art. But then as I started getting a little older, I really enjoyed drawing clothes, which my mom's like, you're kind of a tomboy. You don't really like fashion that much. Why do you like drawing clothes? But I really enjoyed making clothes. So I had a sewing machine and I would sew clothes and then little clothes for my doll because I didn't have money to buy fabric for myself. So doing everything in miniature was cheap. And so I made doll clothes and then I would also like to design and draw clothes on the side. So all of that kind of came together so that when I was in high school, I was just trying to figure out what to go to college for. And then I really just realized that I just loved fashion and that's kind of what I wanted to pursue. And what was great was at that point we had moved over to Virginia and down the road was Virginia Commonwealth University, which has a fine art degree in fashion design. So I went through that program and I actually graduated and then moved back to Minnesota, one of those back to Minnesota life events that, and I worked as a technical designer for apparel and accessories for about a year and a half. And during that time, and even all through college, my love was fashion illustration. But then I think part of it was the desire to actually make a paycheck that caused me to not pursue that. It's like, oh, I'll do that at night and, you know, at home, but I don't really feel the desire to forge out on my own because I liked, you know, having money and not being broke. But then...
Yeah, being able to buy groceries is a really good thing.
It really is. And I'm like, how do people, like, make it as a fashion illustrator? And I just... You know, I think with all creative careers, it's like, okay, how do I actually pay the bills and do what I want? And then I ended up in Minneapolis. I ended up getting laid off because of corporate restructuring. And then I took another job that I thought I would really love. And it was also a design job. And I just didn't. I think the more I thought about it and was like going over my mind, what do I really want to do? You kind of having a quarter life crisis. I realized I want to pursue fashion illustration. So I kind of realized that that was just what I wanted to do, even if that meant I would be broke. And so I renegotiated with the company I was working for, went part-time with them. So I work a certain number of hours a week for them, moved back to the East Coast where I really wanted to be. And then I just have started since, I guess it's been about 4 or 5 months now, really pursuing fashion illustration and hoping that eventually I'll be able to full-time do fashion illustration. But so far it's been going well. And so that's, sorry, that's long and winded, but that is kind of my life story up until now.
Well, no, that's great. It's always kind of good to hear where someone has come from and in how they made their decisions. Like you said, you thought you wanted a steady paycheck, but really decided that that job just wasn't for you and you wanted to strike it out on your own, maybe a little earlier than you thought you were going to.
Yeah.
Is there like anything specific about not maybe your job, but just not doing what you loved that you decided to go into freelance fashion illustration?
I think the desire to do fashion illustration just kept growing. And I thought that I would have the same amount of satisfaction doing other things that I enjoy doing. Like I enjoy design. I enjoy doing print and pattern, you know, all these different things. I'm like, I do like that. But then always in the back of my mind, it would be, you really just want to sit down and draw all day. And mm-hmm. I think knowing that, and then also then there are some aspects of the job that were very difficult. And then living in Minnesota where I didn't really want to be, you know, it all kind of culminated into, you know, days where I would just be crying all the time for no reason. And I'm like, why am I so sad? And like, I'm not doing what I love. And, you know, I'm living in a state I don't want to live in. And, you know. Once you end up crying in a JCPenney's parking lot, you know, you realize you have to make a life change. Like, it's like something's got to change. And that was kind of my low point.
Like life-defining moments.
Oh my goodness, that is so accurate.
It is. And one of my friends like, well, you're at JCPenney's, duh, you're going to be crying. Like, okay, that's a total like fashion friend response. Like, true. However, I need to actually like maybe pursue my dreams and give it a try.
Yeah, you can always tell when there's a passion like that that keeps coming back up over and over again and you can't squash it down into something more reasonable or something that earns a better paycheck. That's definitely a sign that you just need to go for it. So being in fashion, like that seems like one of those things where other people look at the fashion world and they're like, oh, that's for other people to do. That's for like high-end people and people who know what they're doing and people who live in New York. Like, that's not something I could ever do. So how are you breaking into that sort of difficult and intimidating industry? Like, how are you making contacts and trying to get noticed in something like that?
Yeah, I think there's like different sections of the fashion industry. I think like any industry, there's so many different areas that most people from the outside don't really see. So, you know, even when I look at friends who do things with math, I'm like, well, there's only so many types of math. but with fashion, it's like, it's the same. But then, you know, you talk to somebody and they like do something super obscure that you've never heard of. And they're like, I'm a math person. I don't know. I know nothing about math because I'm not a math person, but this is how it usually works when I meet people who do math. I'm like, oh, you do interesting things. But with fashion, it's the same where there's so many jobs. Like the job I did in Minneapolis, I was a technical designer, and like most people don't even know what that is. And it's like, well, I always describe it's like tech specs for clothing. So it's a little bit more analytical, more numbers and pattern construction. So there's such a wide variety of areas in the industry. I think the problem is that the majority of fashion really is dominated by higher end places, but there's so like the majority of the jobs aren't in those high end areas. It's working for large companies like Walmart or Target or, you know, Kohl's, or there's a bunch of little companies too. I have friends who work all over the place. whether it's on the West Coast. I do have friends in New York, but a lot of people also get jobs at large retailers, you know, that are littered throughout the Midwest. But I think the thing is it's also a big connections field, which I think pretty much anything is anymore. So once you kind of get in the door, it helps you connect with other people who then help facilitate your career growth. As a fashion illustrator, I don't have as much of that because I don't know that many fashion illustrators. But it definitely, when I did work as a technical designer, how I ended up getting another job right after the layoffs, I got a job like 2 weeks after, and that was just all through like connections of people I know. And the majority of it is being like a hardworking, show up on time, you know, look like you care, even if sometimes you don't, or actually care. But yeah, I think a lot of the things that make you good at any other job make you good at the fashion design world is being there, being committed. But it's a crazy industry. A lot of people are really psychos. I mean, I know so many people whose bosses are just bananas. And it's hard because they're always like, well, somebody else wants to come into the fashion industry. Mm-hmm. So there's always somebody lined up behind you. My professors would always say that to me at school. There's always going to be somebody at the door right behind you.
Yeah.
And it's true.
That's that Devil Wears Prada. There's a million girls who would kill for your job.
Yeah, that's so true. I was just talking to one of my friends. I was up in New York this last weekend, and I was talking to one of my friends who works for a company up there. And I say, I always describe the fashion industry as the Devil Wears Prada, except we don't get to wear as awesome of clothing or go to any cool cities. And so they're like, so it's basically the Devil Wears Prada, but nothing at all like it. And I'm like, that's true. But like, we're just all poor and hungry.
None of the good parts and all of the bad parts.
Yeah, all of the bad parts. We are hungry eating our cheese cubes because we can't afford anything else. But we don't get cool makeovers and we don't get to go to Paris.
Bummers.
Like any other job, there's pluses and minuses, and it can be a very fun and stimulating industry, and especially if you love clothes, and I love clothes.
Yeah, I worked very, very briefly in fashion at a retailer on their social media team, and learned within a couple of months that I just did not love clothing enough to put up with all of the negatives, and I got out.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. It is. Yeah. It's definitely a very polarizing field. I feel like you either stay in it and you deal with the crap to get mm-hmm. to where you want to be, or there's times where it's like, it's not worth it. That's kind of a downer to talk about my industry. Like it's a grueling awful place.
But at the same time, you're kind of creating your own career within the industry. I mean, mm-hmm. going full-time freelance is a brave thing, but it also can make your life a lot easier if you're not having to deal with all those negatives like you mentioned. So that's really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, we're hoping to make it into the whole freelance full-time, full-time doing illustration, you know, but mm-hmm. it's good. It's been working out so far.
It's got to be kind of hard to stay creative when you're dealing with all of those negative things and like the pressures of like the crazy boss or the ridiculous industry expectations. So like in that sense, being able to be out on your own, even if you are kind of struggling for a paycheck and struggling to eat, it is a better way to like keep doing the thing that you love and still fuel your creativity instead of being sort of squashed by all the bad things that come along with it in a typical job.
Oh, absolutely. And I definitely felt that when I was going through my like crisis. I was like, okay, I'm not being creative. I'm not drawing anything. I'm just sitting on the couch and binge watching Netflix. Because I'm in despair.
Gee, where have we heard that before, Ashley? Nowhere, no.
Yeah, I know. I feel like every time we talk to people, we're like, yeah, we watch a lot of Netflix.
Yeah, that's how we avoid our creative fear. I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. And I do it. I'm so bad, too, because when I'm doing a lot of illustration, I get bored. And so I listen to a lot of Spotify, and then I listen to podcasts, and then I also enjoy, obviously, Netflixing it, and but this time I've been watching a lot of like CSI, so I have binge watched a couple seasons already. And then today I was like home alone, and the house is creaking, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, somebody's in the house. I'm like, okay, I've got to stop. I've got turn off the TV for a while.
Yes.
And maybe interact with real humans so I don't think somebody's around here trying to kill me.
That's definitely another downside of the freelance life, is you're kind of home alone a lot and you're like, I spend too much time in my own head and not with other people.
Oh, absolutely. But it's hard because I feel like as an introvert, it's hard because people like zap my energy so quickly. Mm-hmm. But then on the flip side, it's like I get depressed when I don't see people for a couple days. So mm-hmm. it's trying to find the balance between, okay, I'm alone and that's fostering my creativity, to getting to that point where, okay, now I'm getting to that like crazy lady who never leaves her house situation that is obviously also hurting my creativity. So I don't know. I think as a freelancer, I'm still trying to figure that one out. I don't know if you guys have good tips to not feeling like a crazy shut-in.
Yeah, I struggle with that one. I have a group of other freelancers that I get together with every other month or so, and that helps. But I mean, every other month isn't a whole lot, so you still need to make time to like see people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, do happy hour with friends on a random Tuesday or something like that. I mean, I do still have a full-time job, so I work at an ad agency, kind of crazy hours sometimes, between 8 to 5 to, you know, 8 to 8 or whatever. It all depends. But so I like try to jealously guard my Saturdays so that I can, as an introvert, like have that day to just not see people. And sometimes I will. I'll wake up and tell my husband, like, I am not going anywhere today and I am not talking to people. The end.
I understand that completely. Look, me and people were over.
Yep. Don't like them anymore.
One of the places that Abby and I know always sort of find that connection with people and those creative inspirations is on social media, especially Twitter for us, because that's where writers tend to hang out. We get into lots of good conversations out over there, and that's where Abby and I met, was on Twitter.
Oh, fun.
And so I'm sure, like, I know you're on Instagram a lot, Morgan, and I see you're on Pinterest sometimes too. And with those obviously being such visual social media spaces, that's definitely like places where you belong as a fashion illustrator, where you're like promoting your work and your art and also getting new ideas and new inspiration. So one thing that we're always struggling with is, how do you balance promoting your art with creating your art and not getting sucked into the social media vortex?
Yes, I have that problem too. I don't have I have no good answers for how to fix that or to even do it well. I think my problem is, I think that's one of the reasons I also, besides being sad, was quitting full time, was that I don't have time to create art and market art. Like, there is not enough time in a day for me to produce enough work to actually generate people, mm-hmm. you know, continuing to want to see more work. It's like, well, I could blog like once a week, maybe. It's like, well, nobody wants just a once a week blog. Like, they, or, you know, they want to see new stuff all the time, especially in this age of overstimulation.
Yeah, it's a good word for it.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, where's that next picture? And it's like, okay, for me to sit down and do an illustration, I mean, that can take anywhere between, if something's going amazingly well, like 2 hours to, you know, 10, or even if I'm doing something more complex, like a portrait, I mean, that could take upwards of 20. And it's like, how do you, it's like, I don't have enough content. It's like trying to generate the content. And then after I generate the content, it's like, okay, now I need to like scan it and make sure it looks like it actually did in the original post, or, you know, when I actually created it, you know, on paper and then put it in a post. And then I just kind of gave up too on trying to like type words for blog posts, because I'm not a writer. And I'm always like, just look at the pretty picture, people. Don't ask me to say anything about it.
It's worth 1,000 words, don't you know?
I know. Trying to come up with like a little like copy blurb for me is torture. Like, I don't like talking about my art much. Like this is what I did, or just like, just look at the picture and we'll be good.
Yeah, let's talk about your blog real quick for a second, because we've talked before about how you hate like the traditional format of blogging where you have to write a lot. And you had a fashion blog where you were like, I just want people to look at the pictures. I don't want to write about like how I put together this outfit. And you're saying the same thing now about your art. So do you have any tips for how you turned your blog into something that works for you as somebody who really does dislike writing?
I don't know if it's actually working because I read my blog, but a lot of other people do. but I think I just like gave myself the okay to be like, today I don't want to say anything about this piece of art, and that's okay. You know, I like, to me, my product is not whether I can be a fabulous wordsmith, but it is just a way for me to show what I can do. And sometimes I'll have something to say about it, and sometimes I don't. And I think that's one thing about my personality that's probably different than a lot of artists, is that I don't have like the average, I won't call it average, because I think there's so many people who have amazing creative brains. And mine is just very much like, I made this picture, please view it. I like it, I hope you do too. And I talk to other people who are creatives and they can just explain their art really well and just talk about it and really share like how they were feeling and what was going on. And like, I don't have that when I create art. People are like, well, what like inspires you to create art? It's like, I just like to draw. And it's not a philosophical experience for me to expound on with words. It's just, so I just hope that that it works for other people too, that I'm like, my hope is, yeah, that my pictures speak 1,000 words and that people just enjoy seeing something pretty, and at least what I think is pretty. And I've seen other illustrators who really will just post photos too, and I'm like, I don't really expect them to say things. You know, especially if they don't have something to say. I think the thing that really turns me off on blogs or websites is when I feel somebody's being disingenuous, or if they're not being, like, I can tell that it's not like their real voice, like they're putting on a character. And I feel sometimes I do slip into that. Like when I start writing, I'm like, is this me, or is this like a character of who I think people think I should be? I don't know if you've ever had that with a blog, but I'm like, okay, would I really say this if I was just like talking to somebody? And sometimes I'm like, no. And so then I'll just erase it and be like, no, I'm not going to put that out there because I don't feel like it's my true self. Sometimes my true self is just silent.
I think that's okay to be silent. And like you said, you want your photos to really speak for yourself. But kind of what you're talking about too, like, would I actually use that word? Would I say that thing like that? I mean, that's really part of, I know as a writer, like finding your voice. And if you're not a writer and you have no interest in finding your voice, I don't think anyone has to force you to do that. Not even yourself.
Thank you. Yeah. That's why I'm totally off Twitter. I'm like, I don't know how to tweet. I cannot harness the power of the Twitterverse. Like, I'm so bad. I just like got rid of it. I'm like, I'm done. I can't waste my time. And I think that's the thing too. Like for social media, it's like, what works? Like, what's the social media that's going to work for me? Mm-hmm. And I think I just decided I am focusing on Instagram. So I just started like really focusing on that to grow that. And then I'm focusing on Pinterest. And then there's also Behance, which is like an artist kind of portfolio that you can do that's through Adobe. So I'll update that periodically, but I'm like, okay, I just need to pick like one or two streams that I just focus on and really try to master. And then the rest can just like be itself. And if I need to incorporate that in later on, that's fine, but I don't want to have to like put myself out there on so many different streams that then I just feel overwhelmed.
I love that idea that you are okay with just like putting your work out there and letting it speak for itself and letting people take it as it is instead of feeling the need to like over explain it or even just try to overly promote it. Not that promoting your work is a bad thing, but sometimes I think we just get so caught up in that cycle of like, oh, I need to be constantly reminding people that I exist and reminding people that I'm doing something, that, you know, it's sort of like the social media aspect of marketing can completely take over your creative life if you let it.
Absolutely.
So there is a point where it's like, it's just really nice, that attitude of like, I made this thing, here it is, like, I'm gonna go make more things now.
Yeah, well, I think I only got to that point out of the frustration of like trying to sit down and spending an hour trying to write a tiny paragraph. And then I'm just like, that's it. I'm done. So I think it, like, I got to that point where I just burst. I'm like, I can't do this anymore. But I wish I, you know, deep down in my heart, like, I just so wish I could just put together a beautiful little paragraph about my work. And I wish I could Twitter, and I wish I could just do all these things. But then I think it's also like accepting my limitations and being like, this just isn't you, Morgan. So just be you. And hopefully people will like what you do. And if not, if having 140 characters or less would make people like me more, it's like, that's okay. I don't need to go for those people then.
Oh, that's a great philosophy, especially coming from like an artistic individual. Not many artists can be like, oh, you know, I don't need you as a follower. That doesn't appeal to me. So good for you, Morgan. I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
And I also think your decision to do just like two different kinds of social media that resonate with like your medium, the art you're creating. And then it's also places that you potentially, I hope, enjoy being, because mm-hmm. you're never going to do social media justice if you hate doing it.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, and that's what I do love Instagram, and I also love Pinterest. And I started using Iconosquare just the other day.
Mm-hmm.
So I just started getting into the whole, like, how can I streamline and, like, help myself out? And I feel like that's been a big win for my Instagram. So it helps me figure out, like, when my, which, you know, like, Buffer does, I believe, for, like, Twitter and stuff, but it helps mm-hmm. me figure out, like, when my followers online, when they're interacting with me, and then it like streamlines like all the content comments that people are posting on different photos, and especially with art, because it's not time sensitive. People will comment on, you know, an image I did like 46 weeks ago, and then it gets lost in all the likes, and you're like, now when did they comment and who commented? And mm-hmm. And I know it's obviously important to interact with the people who are commenting on your pictures. So Iconosquare did a great job of having it where they have a manage section where you can go and respond to everybody's recent comments. And it really just like streamlined when I post, which, you know, art takes time. And so if I post and like nobody sees it, it's essentially like almost worthless, you know, to have posted that. So I'm like, well, there goes that one image completely. And then, so I'm able to like figure out when people are on, and then when people comment, I can really engage with them in a timely manner. And so, yeah, so I just kind of found this Iconosquare the other day, which I'm sure everybody's known about for years, but I'm just like, yes, I love this. Like, this is something that I can get behind. And so now we're just, I think it's just a staging thing with, which, you know, and I think it's in any freelance business, and I'm sure you both are that way too, with like, okay, I can only do so much, but being your own like promoter, and you do your own content, mm-hmm. and you're running your own website and all these things. I'm like, I'm everything from tech support.
Yep, to accounting and...
Exactly. And I'm like, I have to choose, you know, just a few things to do, and then just like work to streamline them, mm-hmm. and then be like, okay, what's on the docket this week that I need to fix? And like, what's on the docket next week that I need to do? And while still, you know, doing your own services and art. But then, yeah, it's just like a laundry list that I think just you keep cycling through. So I'm trying not to be overwhelmed. I think at this point I'm kind of in that overwhelmed stage. But it's just like, okay, what's like the next five things to do? And just do those this week. And then, you know, hopefully it all just, I'm sure it's going to continue on, but hopefully it'll all just continue to come together.
Yeah. It'll become more and more second nature as you do things too. Like you'll create something and think, okay, and now I do this, this, and this to promote it, and I'm done. Now move on to the next thing. So you'll get in a groove eventually. I have hope.
Good. Thank you. I'm optimistic at the moment.
Social media marketing is always one of those things where it's sort of like an evolving process, and then all of a sudden you look up one day and you're like, oh, I kind of know how to do this, and I'm not getting like totally distracted and totally sucked in anymore. So yes, there is definitely hope, and it sounds like with Iconosquare you're hitting on a good system to get you started. So speaking of social media, we talk a lot with people about Pinterest, whether they love it or whether they hate it or like prefer to stay away from it entirely. So how do you feel about Pinterest as a source of inspiration, or like what are your sources of inspiration, I guess? Like, do you like to use Pinterest as like ideas for the next illustration that you're going to work on, or would you prefer to get your inspiration from elsewhere?
Yeah, I love Pinterest. I am a huge Pinterest fan for pretty much everything from, yeah, definitely inspiration. But yeah, I'll use it for inspiration for drawings. I use it for inspiration for clothing that I want to wear, inspiration for DIYs. I think as a creative, it's a really great place. I think it's hard because there's, I was on it way back in the day, like when you actually had to be like invited onto Pinterest.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. it's been many, you know, but, and I think it's been harder. It's harder to like sift through everything now, I feel like, cause there's just like so much stuff on there. Mm-hmm. But I think I've, curated a good source of people that I follow. I'm really picky about the people I follow. And if all of a sudden somebody's like deviating into something that I don't like, I'll instantly start unfollowing different boards, different people, just to keep my stream really like a source of inspiration. So I have people, I have a couple of great fashion illustration boards that I follow that people are constantly like curating other people's illustrations. And I find that to be really inspiring, you know, and it gives me great ideas. And then I also follow a lot of bloggers and people who wear the clothes that I want to illustrate. Mm-hmm. And then I'll just save a bunch of those. I'll save a bunch of those onto like a secret board that I just want. Then I'm like, okay, these are just images that I might want to illustrate later, that either I like the composition, I like, you know, the coloring of the clothing, anything that really like catches my eye. So I feel like it's a great filing system for me when I don't have like an inspiration that I'm thinking of right off the top of my head to feel like, oh, I want to draw a picture of her. I'll just go to Pinterest and start looking. And if something like catches my eye, I'll be like, that's it. I'm going to do it. And so, yeah, I feel like Pinterest is a great place for me to just find interesting compositions. And it's just like an easy way to just like, I can just sit and like scroll through and just pick things off. So mm-hmm. But it can be a time suck, which is a problem. it's a double-edged sword in that sense.
Do you find any other sources of inspiration out there in the world? Like, are you tuned into New York Fashion Week or anything like that? Do you pay a lot of attention to the mainstream news dealing with fashion?
Yeah, I do. I'm on a, through my other job, so with freelancing for this company, I'm hooked up to WGSN, which is like a trend forecasting site. Mm-hmm. And they have all the images from the runway shows from like New York Fashion Week and a lot of trending, like, okay, what's trending now? What's trending next year? So I do spend a lot of time just trying to stay current, looking at higher end fashion and just trying to see like where things are going in order to stay relevant. And I actually am queuing up a post. I'm starting to work on a few illustrations from New York Fashion Week. I probably should be more in tune with this, but last month I got tickets to, you know, go to New York. And then I realized like, oh, it's during Fashion Week. But then I'm like, oh, I don't have anything to illustrate with me. And now I'm on vacation for a couple of days. I'm like, okay, I really need to plan my life around Fashion Week so that like I'm at home, like ready to illustrate. Because I feel like that's when people like are really interested in looking at illustrations. Mm-hmm. It kind of is like a, you know, a catalyst for people to be like, oh, what have people been wearing? What are people, you know, looking at? And I think that's a big one. So I started doing a couple to try and catch up. So I was a bad illustrator. I was like, oh, Morgan, like you totally missed the boat on that one. Then I'm like, well, we'll come around in another 6 months.
We'll get it. Exactly. Done. You get one pass and it's not really even Fashion Week. It's Fashion Month.
Pretty much.
Isn't it after New York, they do Paris and Milan and I don't remember what else.
Exactly. It does. And it just keeps going. But that's definitely something that I realized too. I need to be more cognizant of the fashion world's schedule. Because even like mm-hmm. people like seeing a lot of illustrations of looks from like the Oscars or the Grammys or, you know, and those are ways that I feel like are really good to, you know, catch new, kind of catch a new audience that might not be totally tuned mm-hmm. into illustration most of the rest of the year. So that's my next, you know, one of those things that you're like, okay, got to put this on my list for like the next time. Let's remember this.
6 months exactly. from now. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And that sort of brings up the beauty of the idea of having an editorial calendar for, sorry, I'm a big fan of editorial calendars.
Yeah,
I'm like a schedule nerd. But I think that's something that's relevant in every industry. Like every industry is going to have their things that sort of revolve around or that things center around. And if you want to be prepared to make like the best mark that you can as a creative, you need to be ready for that sort of thing. So like for bloggers, you know, thinking in advance about what events or holidays are coming up that people might be interested in. Or I know in the publishing industry, whether it's books or magazines, they're always running like several months ahead of what's actually happening. So like if you're trying to pitch a book to a publishing house about something Christmassy, you should probably be hitting them up in like July
or earlier. Like,
yeah. Or, well, you'd talk to them in July to be published like a year from that Christmas. Mm-hmm. If it was a book, like that's how far out the book industry works. But yeah, so there's my little plug for editorial calendars for everybody.
Yes. I definitely think I need to get on that one. Just to, yeah, mm-hmm. to even be able to mark it out and be like, okay, I probably shouldn't be traveling, you know, these weeks in order to, you know, really push, yeah, and get the, you know, product I need out. But yeah, because I kind of tuned into that too with the whole, just seeing people do like special illustrations for Christmas or Thanksgiving. And I'm like, oh, holidays, those are something people like too. So they're like, I'll do a Thanksgiving one. And then I did one for Christmas and I was gone for Valentine's Day, so I didn't get one of those up. But I'm like, oh, my Instagram feed is full of fashion illustrators who did Valentine's illustrations. And, you know, my mind, I guess, doesn't really revolve around holidays like that. So I don't think about it. But I'm like, oh, this is what people like to see. Mm-hmm. And it just reminds me like, okay, I should pay more. So I'm trying to pay more attention to, I think a lot of times as a illustrator, but also like as a freelancer, I can get really like internalized mm-hmm. and think, okay, like all the things I need to do and what am I doing? And sometimes I just need to stop and be like, okay, what are other people doing? And like, what can I learn from them? And, you know, just, I guess, making sure I keep my finger on the pulse of what other people are doing, but in a good way and not like, oh my gosh, they're amazing and I'm never going to be like them.
Yeah, because that is a hard teeter-totter to like fall off the other end of.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's nice to just like take a breath and be like, okay, Morgan, you're different from them. Like you offer something different, like you're your own person, but like to learn from what they do and like, how can I that make me better?
Yeah, so speaking of that like tricky balance between like looking at what other people are doing and remembering that you're your own creative person, do you ever struggle with like, especially in a visual industry like fashion illustration, do you ever struggle with like maybe falling into a different illustrator's style and then all of a sudden being like, wait a minute, this isn't really me, or just getting too many ideas or things from other people instead of from yourself?
Yeah, I think that comes in like a couple different ways. I do struggle with that at times. I think I'm at a good place now because I like where I am. I like where I recently arrived to, I should say. But I think it's hard because like I'll look at what other people are doing and I'll be like, oh, I want my art to look like that. But then part of it's like, okay, but that's not me. So I remind myself, like, that's not my style. That's not who I am. Even though I love it, like, that's not something I'm going to enjoy doing. But then I also get it in the other side where, you know, and I have friends and family who I love who will be like, oh, well, I like it when you do it like this better. Or I like when you do it like that better. And it's like, it's like, thank you. Like, I appreciate your compliments and slight criticism. But it's also like, but at the end of the day, it's like, okay, what do I want to do? Like at the end of the day, when I put out my product, what do I want it to look like? Mm-hmm. And is it a good reflection of me and my style? And that can evolve. So my style's evolved over the years. And for a long time, I was doing a lot of pencil and marker. And I just hadn't done a lot of watercolor or any sort of paint. I was just pretty much into all the dry mediums. And then after looking at a lot of different illustrators, I'm like, wow, watercolor is the bomb. I want to get into this. And I kind of want to change my style a little bit. And so that's one of the things I've been working on the past few months is I've been taking a couple of classes online and then just really working hard at getting to kind of the place I want to be with my style. That I just want to be like, okay, this is what I do. And because I knew I wasn't where I wanted to be. And I think it's been going well so far. It's definitely been a learning curve and I'm no way arrived, but I think right now what I'm putting out is the closest like expression of me and my style as I can be at this moment, which is exciting. You know, everybody evolves, but where I am right now, I feel in a good place. But it's hard. It's hard because then you compare yourself to other people and then other people have opinions of what you should do, you know, that you love and care about deeply. And so it's like, who am I? What should I do? But then at the end of the day, it's like, okay, I just got to stick to my guns because, you know, this is my life. And I feel like I should break out into Bon Jovi right now. It's my life.
And I think it's good that we evolve, or we would all still be wearing like sparkly blue eyeshadow that we did when we were like 12 and 13. So yeah. Thank goodness that the world is more into neutrals now.
Yeah, so thank heavens we do evolve. So I'm hoping that like my style will be slightly different, you know, in the next few years, even as I continue to grow. And but it can be hard. It's hard to compare yourselves to others, and it's hard to just stick to your guns and be like, this is me. Man, if you don't like it, leave.
Yes.
Brutal, but it works.
Which I say in my head a lot, but mostly I'm also like, but please, please stay.
Yeah, like you have such like a stand your ground attitude about that. Like all the creatives I know, and especially writers, like writers tend to be such sensitive little souls. Like I just like, they're always like, but I want everybody to like my writing. And I just really love that you're pushing yourself to be like, no, if you don't like it, you can go away.
Even if you're not there yet. Yeah. You've acknowledged that that is a good place to be.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Cause I think I do. I think I'm less of a people pleasing person. Because that's never been my personality. I've always been kind of like, whatever. Like, I'll do what I want.
I'm really jealous right now.
No, but there are times too where it's like I sit and I look at like my, again, you know, like how many people are following me on Instagram or my four lovely Bloglovin followers, because I just got on Bloglovin too. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, this is okay. Like you are doing what you want. Like you are following your passions. Mm-hmm. Like if you're anybody else, it's like, you wouldn't be you. And then you know, even if I had followers, I would be doing nothing that I wanted to do right now. So I'm like, just stick to it and be yourself. And I think that's what resonates. Like I said earlier, that's what resonates when I read other people's blogs and what they do. I'm like, they're passionate about what they do and they're uniquely themselves. And then they put out a good product. And I hope that that's what draws people to me too. And not any sort of fake Morgan that I'd try to put out there for them.
Are very wise words. So one question that I wanted to sneak in before we jump to our mini book club here. Mm-hmm. So we talked a little bit earlier about how like you sew clothes, like, which is amazing, and like you can design patterns, and I also happen to know that you're a very good knitter. You're a portrait artist. Like you do all this like all the artsy stuff that I'm not good at, that like hands-on stuff that involves like little bits of math and like really, really good hand-eye coordination. Like you're really good at all that stuff. So even though like you've said that fashion illustration keeps coming back to the forefront as like your true passion, you still have all these other things that you're talented at and that you enjoy doing. So how do you know when it's time to maybe like back away from the fashion drawings and like pursue some of those other passions that are more just for fun?
Yeah, I think I have a hard time with that because I'm like a very obsessive personality. So like if I pick up knitting, it isn't like I'm going to knit like a couple rows and call it a day. Like I will sit there and furiously knit a scarf until like my fingers turn numb and my eyes are bloodshot from binging on TV again. So I have a hard time. Like seriously, this is how it works. It's like, oh, I made an entire scarf in one night.
That's how I am with like games on your phone or like computer games. So I just have like a blanket ban on them. I am not allowed to download games on my iPhone. I just can't do it.
Yeah. I mean that 2048 or whatever and the Tetris, I'm like, no, like they just have to go. And yeah, I think
for me, it was Angry Birds. So
Angry Birds. Yes. I remember Angry Birds. Yeah. I think I have to give myself like permission to put down the fashion illustration. Especially, you know, when you're a freelancer, it's like there's no great, like, distinct line between when you're working and when you're not working. Mm-hmm. So I always feel like I'm simultaneously working all the time and never doing enough. And I think some days I just have to give my, like, especially on weekends. There's some weekends that I'm like, just give yourself, like, the day, Morgan, to pursue something else that you like. So for instance, the other day my sister needed a dress and I'm like, oh, I can make you a dress.
That is so fantastic.
Yeah. So like, oh yeah, I'll do this. Like I'll make her a dress. So I ordered a pattern and then I altered it for her and then made her a dress with some extra fabric I had. And then, yeah, the other day when I was up in New York, I need a couple dresses for summer and I haven't found anything like last summer that I liked. So I bought some fabric and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to have a weekend where I can, you know, sit down and just enjoy doing something else. So I try to give myself like little breaks, like every couple weeks, do something that's different and be like, just enjoy this other pursuit that you like. So I try to sneak a portrait in every now and then, knitting as it comes up. Since I don't live in as cold of weather climate, I don't feel the obsessive urge to knit as much. and then like sewing. But I try to make it more contained. So as opposed to like having the process take a long time, I do the whole like obsessive, like, okay, I'm just going to give myself 2 days to like just work out this like desire to sew. And then usually by the end of those 2 days, all my flashbacks from senior year of my college experience come. And then I'm like, I hate sewing. I'm never doing this again. This is awful. I think I have PTSD from college, but because that was all I did there is just sew. But, yeah. So I think that's, just how I don't divide my time well, and I always want to do more, and I just don't ever feel like I have enough hours in a day. Cause I also like to read, and then at the end of the day, it's like, well, my eyes are shot because I've been drawing and on the computer all day and I really just need to close them and fall asleep. And so like my reading list this year, I was trying to do one book every 2 weeks and that was shot. So I don't do it well, but I just try to remind myself that it's like, you know, my life as a freelancer is a marathon and it's not a sprint. Like I have to be able to enjoy and be creative in other ways so that in the long run I can still love fashion illustration 20, 30 years down the road as opposed to like burning myself out on it.
That's a great philosophy to have. You've got to, I mean, the reason you kind of make your own job for yourself is to enjoy it. And if you're not enjoying it, you're probably doing, you know, something a little more than you ought to maybe. So it's good to recognize that you need every couple of weeks to just take a step back and to be a person and not just an entrepreneur.
Absolutely.
So you said you like to read, even if you haven't read a lot this year, what are some books that have either just really impacted you or inspired your creativity? Would you care to share a couple with us?
Yeah. So I'm actually... just a book for fun I'm reading now is The Gift of Asher Lev, which I started on the train the other day. And it's a sequel to a book by Chaim Potok, I think is how you say his name. And he's a Jewish writer and he wrote a couple books, but one of my favorite was, it's called My Name is Asher Lev. And it's about this little boy who actually loves to draw. And he is Jewish and his... and that's, art was not something that was considered important in the society that he grew up in. And it just talked about kind of like his compulsion that like he desperately needed to draw, and just like how, and I don't know, I just really like connected with that book. So I'm reading the sequel now. So I'm not far enough in it to give any fun advice or like critique on it, but I'm excited to see how the sequel happens, because the first one ended kind of on a downer note. It was a beautiful book, but it, and one again that, you know, you binge read late into the night, because I'm like, I must know what happens. And it ended on a downer note. So I'm hoping the sequel is better. But then I think another book that's really sparked my interest in regards to creativity is The Artist's Way. One of my friends who is also a freelancer, she suggested it. And it's kind of a guidebook on creativity. So again, I haven't read it, but it's really impacted her. And she's talked through some of these different things where she says there's different exercises in the book and you like journal. And it's just a way to help you loosen up your creativity and kind of get rid of some of the roadblocks that we kind of take on in life, whether it's we're hindered by, you know, people's critique of us, or we're hindered by like time, or what we thought we should be. Like, there's a lot of different ways that she works you through different exercises to help you release the creative within you. So I think the subtitle is like A Spiritual Path to Higher Creativity. And I know of several people who've read it, and yeah, that they've recommended. So I think that is on a to-read soon list. Have either of you read that? Have you heard of it before?
I've heard of it. I've heard a lot of people say good things about it, but I've not picked it up myself, no.
Yeah, and I'm in the same boat. And if I'm remembering right, I think that book, The Artist's Way, is the one where one of the exercises is writing morning pages.
And yes, that's it.
Okay. Yep. Okay. I have not read the book, but I did try doing morning pages because I was familiar with the idea, which is basically you wake up and the first thing that you do before you even really get out of bed and brush your teeth is like grab a journal and write at least, I don't know how many pages it is. I think it's like 300 pages or something.
I think it's like three. Something. Yeah.
Yeah. So just like whatever comes to mind, I guess. Like the point is that it doesn't have to be good writing. You're just trying to like get that creativity and like get your words and thoughts and ideas flowing first thing in the morning. So I tried doing morning pages actually, and I hated it, but I'm sure that it's like a really, I'm sure it's a great exercise for other people. I'm like the negative person in our book club all the time. I'm like, I didn't like this.
But are you a morning person?
I really used to be. And I see, the thing is, I like to be able to take my mornings at my own pace. Like in my perfect world, a morning routine for me would be like 3 or 4 hours long. And with a toddler, you don't get to do that. So I kind of felt resentful taking any time that I did have in the morning to write these three pages that weren't necessarily even supposed to be good.
Yeah. I think that's one of the reasons I haven't read the book, but I was encouraged to read it by my friend and other people who've talked about it, is that one, I'm not a writer, so writing 300 pages sounds like death to me. But it seems like there's a couple other like good exercises in the book that I'm like, okay, maybe if I take it and like do what I feel like doing, which I'm sure is probably not how the process works. I think it's probably a holistic approach. But I'm like, maybe if I get the book, because there were a few like exercises that they talked, that one of my friends brought up, and it seemed like, oh, like that might be a good way for me to, you know, there might be good things in there to actually help spur my creativity on. But yeah, the whole idea of morning pages. And again, I'm not like a formula person either. So I always am like, I don't know if this is going to actually work. I'm the skeptic in the crowd. Like, really, is this really going to unleash my creativity? But I hear it works. So maybe I should just go for it. So yeah. I think I'll have to get it from the library and give it a go. Yeah.
Nothing says you can't try. If you do it for like three mornings and it just is not your thing, you can stop. So,
yeah. Yeah. It seems better than a book another person recommended that I can't even remember. what it was called. But she's like, oh, this might be really good for you as a freelancer to like help figure out what you want to, you know, how you want to structure your business. And somehow you like ended up like having to draw a picture of a tree with crayons, and you had to like put like the watering can. And you had to do all, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm going to go write a business plan. I looked through the book and I'm like, I'm way too much like the other side of the brain for this. I'm not going to draw a picture with a tree and put like little circles in it that represent, I don't know, parts of my business or.
That's your INTJ showing.
I was just going to say, I'm the same way. I'm also an INTJ. And whenever like they do those, when you're at a conference or whatever, and they're like, close your eyes and visualize, blah, 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 blah. I was like, this is not happening. I am not sitting here and I am not doing this.
Oh, I know. I think that too. I'm like, really? Like, what is this really going to prove? Like, and so I'll just sit there like, how long do I have to be here? Yeah, all of a sudden, and anything sounds too like emotional or fluffy for me, I'm just like, we're done. We're just done. But then on that note, so there is a book that I really did like. It isn't like a guide to unleashing the creativity within or anything, but I found it helpful right at the beginning when I'm like, I don't even know how to put together an invoice or what to do. And I think at that time, Ashley, you were the recipient of many emails, Facebook messages.
I was happy to talk with you.
I know nothing, nothing at all. But it's called Creative Inc., The Ultimate Guide to Running a Successful Freelance Business.
Is that one by, is it Joy Cho?
Yes, Choi, I think that's
something. Okay. Susanna, another podcast guest of ours, has mentioned that one. She has like a whole series of books called like Blog Inc. and Creative Inc. and different things like that.
Yeah, I've only read the creative one, and I got it for free because I told my friend about a podcast that I never actually listened to, but I thought she would like it. And then she won like a bundle of products off of that off of that podcast. And so she's like, what do you want, Morgan? And she's like, I wouldn't have even been listening if I hadn't heard about it from you. So I'm like, oh, I'll take that book, especially when I had just started out. And they did a good job of just talking through like, what does an invoice look like? Just really bare bones. It wasn't anything super high level, but I could just flip through and be like, okay, I need to know, yeah, like how to write a contract. Like, what does a contract look like? Or, yeah, I think the invoicing thing was a big thing too. Like how to make a billing statement look official. And she had some stories in there that I kind of glossed over because I don't really care about other people's stories and books, but not that much. Because I'm like, well, great, now they're successful, woohoo. tell me how I can be successful. But yeah, I felt like it was a good resource. So I just keep it on my shelf, and sometimes I'll pull it off every now and then in case I want to like look for something. So I use it as a little guide. But yeah, it's not too large. It's a cute little book. And I don't know, I found it to be a good way that's not overwhelming to just start out.
Mm-hmm. It's probably the best place to start then, somewhere that doesn't like terrify you into stopping before you even get going.
Yeah. Yeah. It's even like a really cute small size. So when you pick it up, aww, you don't feel like you're going to die. Oh, nice. There's a few other books that I've tried to pick up with like about freelancing. And like, okay, this is just way too over my head at the moment. And so it's, yeah, it was a good like starter, like the kindergarten version of freelancing.
Yeah, the book that really helped me when I first started freelancing was called My So-Called Freelance Life. And I can't remember the name of the woman who wrote it, but she was writing specifically to freelance writers. So there were some things that were a little more industry specific in there, but it was kind of the same thing where it was a little bit more of an overview of like, okay, guys, like you're going to have to pay taxes and you're going to have to like hang on to your receipts and like very basic businessy freelance stuff that most creatives are like too focused on their creative work to actually think about. So that was another one that I would recommend to people, like not too overwhelming, but helpful.
I was going to say my grandfather is a tax accountant, so that's where I got all my advice.
That's a good resource to have. Yes.
What piles do you want me to put these receipts in? Okay, I'll do that.
I know. That is definitely, I do. I have a, this is like the first year I actually hired somebody. I'm like, okay, I need somebody to, not as an accountant, I'm not that not that well to do on my illustration business, but like somebody to do my taxes. I'm like, I need somebody. Actually, I also hired them to like get my, to set up my LLC because I'm like, I could do all this paperwork, but it will take me an entire week to figure out what I need to submit. So I think sometimes it's like having the right resources and the right. And I think also that's like, okay, who can I actually outsource? Like if there's one thing I need to outsource, you know, in my life at the moment, what is it? Yeah. I think that's also a good thing to figure out too. I'm like, okay, if I can outsource one thing, it's my taxes. So like, that's the first that I'll pay to do. But if I had a grandpa who did taxes.
Yeah. I think that's the answer for a lot of people. Is.
I know. I'm very lucky. I pay my grandfather in cheese when we see him and do our taxes. So I live in Wisconsin. He lives in Illinois. So it's a really great like bartering tool. If you live in Wisconsin, you have access to cheese.
Yes,
you do. A lot of cheese.
We do. So it's pretty great.
So do you have any books you wanted to talk about this week, Abby? Anything good you're reading?
Oh gosh. I just started Big Magic by Liz Gilbert. And I'm like so not even far into it. I can't even tell you if I'm like, yes, I love this or not. Like I've cracked the cover and read the intro. Mm-hmm. So nothing to report other than the cover's really, really pretty. And it makes me want to like, it looks really energizing. It makes me want to go like run a marathon. And I don't run like period. So I feel like this is going to be good. I just have a good feeling about it.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're starting.
Sometimes
it.
You do have to judge a book by its cover.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and it's definitely an eye-catching cover.
It's like all the colors of the rainbow, but in like bright, explosion-y clouds. Mm. I don't even know how to describe that.
It's like a tie-dye explosion.
Yes, tie-dye. That's the word for that. So I'll let you know how it goes beyond the tie-dye cover.
Yeah, you should, because so many people have recommended it to us now here. So I'm interested to hear what you think of it. So, yeah, this has been a really good chat. Thanks for talking with us tonight, Morgan. I feel like it was, because we're both writers, and Abby's also a photographer. So we talked to a lot of writers and a lot of photographers, but it was really good to hear from somebody in a different industry that's maybe not as talked about as often. So I think people will really enjoy hearing from you.
Good. Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been fun to get to chat with both of you, and now you're both are going to be part of, well, obviously, Ashley, you have been a part of my creativity pool, but now you, Abigail, it's nice to even know more freelancers, and makes me feel a little bit less alone sometimes when I'm like, okay, there's other people
that is a working, good thing.
Working, doing what they love. And
yeah, well, what that is what this podcast is kind of all about, is connecting everybody and telling everyone that the struggle is real and you are not alone. So.
And people can find you on the web at morganswank.com. And then I'm sure there's links to your social media profiles there as well, right?
Absolutely. On the right-hand side, there's a bunch of little buttons that will take you to all the important places to go. There will not be a Twitter button on there, FYI. That is gone. There's no bird on my entire site. Take it away.
So. Good to know.
That's fantastic. Thanks again for chatting with us.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Creative podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, be sure to stop by chasingcreative.com to check out the show notes, catch up on past episodes, and subscribe to the podcast.
If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you leave us a review on iTunes. You can also join in the creative conversation by tweeting to us at Abigail E. Krebs or at Brooks Editorial, or by using the hashtag ChasingCreative on Twitter and Instagram.
If there's a guest you'd love to hear from on the podcast, or if you have any feedback for us, drop us a line at chasingcreativepodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening. Until next week, go chase your creative.